Now, as part of this expansion of agricultural activity, they tried to create a much more centralized bureaucratic state. Now, this ran rather against the notion that people lived in cities close to their home villages in the countryside. Life was becoming a little more impersonal, much more structured, and, for example, things like workmen's villages were run with very tight bureaucratic controls. You can hardly blame the pharaohs, because life was becoming very much more complicated. The affairs of state were much more sophisticated. Trade alone with eastern Mediterranean countries expanded dramatically. The pharaohs mined copper and gold in the Sinai, and once again imported large quantities of cedar from Lebanon. Business was big business. The amount of labor needed to maintain this and to administer it was enormous. Egyptian merchants now maintained regular contacts with distant lands as far away as the Aegean Islands and Crete. Egypt was getting drawn into much more of a global economic system, if I may use the expression. We use this in the Mesopotamian lecture as well. There was much more interconnection between competing states, which was to culminate in the second millennium BC. The Middle Kingdom was one of the high points of ancient Egyptian civilization, with brilliant art and architecture and very able kings. It lasted till about 1640 BC. And was then followed by another period of economic and political disorder, which is attributable largely to a series of weak pharaohs. And inevitably, the kingdom weakened. This, however, also was a time when the contact with the eastern Mediterranean had intensified, and there were quite aggressive chiefdoms and kings living in the eastern Mediterranean who now began to invade and go into the delta. How did this happen? It didn't happen by a big invasion. The fact of the matter was that the Asian population of the delta was rising rapidly. Artisans, wine workers, sailors, merchants. It was becoming increasingly cosmopolitan because the delta, unlike Upper Egypt, was not nearly as isolated by the deserts, and there was the constant maritime and overland trade between Egypt and what is now Israel, Syria, and those areas. And increasingly, Lower Egypt came under the influence of chieftains in the eastern Mediterranean. And, about 1640, a series of chieftains who are known as the Hyksos ruled over Lower Egypt. They ruled from a town called Avaris in the delta. And, as a result of this, Egypt effectively became, for a while, two kingdoms. Upper Egypt was still ruled from Thebes, far upstream. Avaris presided over Lower Egypt, two competing kingdoms. The Hyksos brought a whole lot of new ideas to a very conservative country. It's tempting to think that ancient Egypt was unchanging over 3,000 years. It wasn't. But the basic ideology, the basic artistic conventions, the basic religious beliefs stayed remarkably constant. Because ancient Egyptians believed that history was linear and that life from the very beginning with the first spirit kings had unfolded in a linear way. Order had always been maintained over reign after king after king after king. The world of order as opposed to the world of chaos. But the Hyksos were connected with a much wider world. Not just trading in it, they lived in it. They were merchants. And they brought new ideas to this conservative country. Among them, more sophisticated bronze technology, stronger bows, which were very important for warfare, new designs of swords and other weaponry, and most important of all, the war chariot, which revolutionized the strategy of battle.